Thank you, Sandra. In the presence of Jesus. Come on, everybody, get up on your feet with me. Declare nice and loud. Make this declaration to the powers and principalities and to yourself. Are you ready? I am a child of God. Born of the Spirit of God. Filled with the Spirit of God. I am the head. I live far above. I am prosperous. I have good success. I am a doer of the word. And the Lord shall increase me more and more. Me and my family. Now tell two or three other people around you, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Hallelujah. You can be seated. You believe that? Amen. You got to confess that. Got to believe that. Got to speak that. How many, just by a show of hands, would say with me, since I've been declaring that verse, the Lord shall increase me more and more, me and my children, we have seen supernatural increase. Let me see your hand. Look at the hands. This, I'm getting reports like every day people are saying, we're being increased. You are the prophet of your own life, aren't you? Amen. Declare what you believe and what you want, and it will come to pass. Glory to God. You know, I've learned some things the hard way. Have you? I have learned some things the hard way. I remember with a broken arm, cast up to my shoulder, my parents said, don't ride your bicycle with one hand. And I said, I can ride it with one. I can ride a bike with no hands. And sure enough, I learned the lesson the hard way. I went up over the handlebars. And the only thing that saved me was my broken arm in the cast as it broke the fall instead of my head. You know, I've learned lessons the hard way. I've learned that you don't put bobby pins inside of electrical outlets. I've learned that, but I've learned it the hard way. You know what I'm talking about? I've learned that you don't pick up a bowl out of the microwave when it's been in there 2 or 3 or 4 minutes with your bare hands. Even though you think you can do it and you're macho and you can. I've learned lessons the hard way. Can I get a witness in here? Anybody else? And that's exactly what the prophet Joel was trying to save Israel from. Learning the lesson the hard way. And we've been declaring out of Joel chapter 1. Turn in your Bible there with me. And, you know, they have just had difficulty after difficulty. And that is the, I'm not getting my, there we go. I must have bumped the button. They had difficulty after difficulty, and yet they weren't learning the lesson. The locust came, the swarming locust came, and the caterpillars came. And, I mean, just devastated the nation. And then the Assyrian army came in four waves and lost everything. Because they had put so much trust in their prosperity and not in the God of prosperity. Listen, I'm all for increase, and I declare it every day. But, you know, woe be to us if we ever start trusting in our increase and not the God who gave us power to increase. Amen? We don't want to go that route. We don't want to become self-sufficient. We don't want to become people who are boastful in what we can do. You know, Israel had reached an all-time low in their worship to God, in their sacrifices in the temple, in their self-sufficiency. And God said, you know what? I've had enough. And then they had these plagues come, and they had all kinds of problems, and they were learning the lessons the hard way. But God said, I am going to do something for you that will change your lives. In the midst of all the trouble, he said, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Verse 26, he shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Verse 27. And he said, then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. What was God saying? He was simply saying this. Even in the middle of all of your mistakes, even though you took your bike out and you rode anyway and you fell over head over heels over those handlebars, even though you got the electrical shock when I told you not to, even though you tried to pick up the ball without those claw things, you know, whatever they call pot holders or whatever, and you've learned the lessons the hard way, I'm still going to bless you. I'm here to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been in trouble and you've done things wrong and you haven't been good or you haven't really followed the commandments or you haven't really been serving God the way you should, I've still got good news for you. God is a God of restoration. But what is He wanting us to do? He's wanting us to learn a lesson from this. Learn a lesson from this. What is this? This is the book of Joel of what God is wanting to declare to you and me this morning. You see, God has called us to be something. The Bible says that He's called us to be light. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. God has called us to be the preserving agent in this generation. You and I have got to understand our presence means something in America. Our presence means something in our jobs, on our jobs, in our families. Ladies, I want to encourage you. If you're the only one serving the Lord in your household and your husband isn't serving God or your children are away from God, let me tell you something. You are the salt of the earth. And you are going to be a preserving agent and a powerful prosperity agent. And God is going to use your life. You see, as long as our hope is anchored in the great God and not great goods. You know, I'm concerned about this in our generation. God's people have become enamored with money. We become enamored with material things. We think a sign of success is to have stuff. We think that just like in the church, the sign of the anointing is a lot of emotion. You know, I could be a real emotional person today here and never be anointed. I can sing song, I can shout, I can as I preach, I can get you dancing and jumping up and shouting and never teach you a thing. And you will say that was an anointed service. That's how far we've come from understanding what the anointing is. The truth is the same in regards to what? Prosperity. We think because we're blessed, because we have a big house, or we've got a car, or we've got an airplane, or we've got magazine lists, or we got mailing lists, or people know our name, we're anointed. Wrong. Amen. Our hope must be anchored not in our great goods, but in our great God. Come on, somebody, shout hallelujah. Do you believe that this morning? You see, the Bible tells us that what happened to those that were in Israel at this time is they got carnal. They were as carnal as unbelievers. Here's what Paul said to the church at Corinth. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able to receive it. Why? For you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Behaving like mere men? Ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine? Here's a nation that had experienced the blessing of God, come into the promised land. God had did so many great things for them, and easily they were swayed by their prosperity, by the abundance of their life, and suddenly now they no longer needed the God that brought them the deliverance. They no longer needed the God that brought their needs to be met. They no longer needed the God who was able to defeat their enemies. They thought, you know what? We'll take over ourselves from here. And I think this mirrors America. I think this typifies the American church. We've come to a point where we feel like we really don't need God. We're not desperate for Him as if we were in an ICU unit. You know, at those moments when we're all hooked up to machines and the doctor says there's no hope, suddenly we're desperate for God. But as long as there's money in the bank, and as long as we've got everybody loving us, and as long as we've got a nice house and the bills are paid and we got a raise, it's like, well, maybe I'll go to church today, but I don't know, I'm kind of tired. You know, we kind of focus it, but let a calamity come or let a crisis come, and suddenly we're desperate for God. I believe there's a time coming, and I believe we're in it right now. I believe we're on the precipice of it. I believe that there is a generation who are saying, you know what? I don't need to be in an ICU. I don't need to have no money. I don't have to be in a place where my body is sick. I'm desperate for God in my prosperity, in my abundance, in the glory. I'm desperate for God. Are you desperate for God this morning? Are you hungry for God this morning? You see, in Joel chapter 1, we read about verse 7, how his tree, the tree, really the vine, the vine tree, the fig tree, had been barked. Now, you know, when you take the bark off of a tree, you know what its destiny is? You know what its future is? The Bible basically tells us that that's what happened to Israel. It had become barked. They were like a fig tree. And when you take the bark off of a tree, it won't be long before that tree will die. That tree will die. Ladies and gentlemen, what was the bark? What was the symbolism of the bark in Joel chapter 1 and 7? I believe it's the believers. I believe it's those who trust in God. I believe we're the bark of America. I believe we're the bark on the earth. I believe so long as the church acts like salt and acts like light, the devil may come and steal, kill, and destroy and attempt to bring havoc and destruction. But as long as the bark is on the tree, that storm has got to pass and that tree is going to stand tall. You see, you and I, we must serve God with a desperate heart today. We are the answer for the world. We are the answer for this community. Our gathering together this morning is a sign and a wonder to the powers and principalities of the air. They're all looking around going, my goodness, what's happened over there? Up at that church, look at them. They're coming from the north and the south and the east and the west. Look, 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 look. There's a former alcoholic. There's a former drug addict. There's a former prostitute. There's a former homosexual. Come on, look at them. They're all coming up to the house of God and they're lifting up their praises unto the Lord. And the demons begin to tremble because the bark is on the tree. You see, you and I have to understand that God always has restoration on his mind. I want to just deliver that to you as a word of hope. I want you to know today, you may have messed up this week. So what? You may have blown it. So what? You mean I could just blow it and God will... No. Don't blow it on purpose. Don't blow it out as sensual appetites and carnal appetites. But if you've blown it and you've been deceived and you've fallen down, listen, the righteous fall down 7 times. Well, what do? They get up again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Come on, lift your hands up to heaven. Say, thank you, Jesus. You deliver me out of all my affliction. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, you know God's been good to you. He's been good to you. Come on, look on your right and on your left and say, my God's been good to me. Come on, tell somebody. Tell somebody. Open up your mouth and testify. Testify. Tell somebody, God's been good to me. Hallelujah. He said, my vine, my fig tree, God is going to restore that fig tree. God is going to restore that vine. He said, it's mine, and I don't care if it's been barked or not. It's going to come back. Look at somebody and say, I'm on my way back. I'm on my way back. Listen, we're living in an era, we're living in a time when the gospel has never been preached with such clarity. We're living in a season where there has never been such powerful words and wonders. I was watching TV this morning. I was listening to T.D. Jakes. My goodness, old T.D. Jakes was talking and he was preaching the word of God. And I heard Joel Osteen, and he was just delivering the word of the Lord and wanting you to understand. And I heard Jimmy Swagger looking in that book, and he said, there's going to be a judgment coming on the earth. And no matter who you are, you're going to stand before God. And then I heard another brother over here, and he was preaching, and the choir was jumping, and they were dancing. And I said, my God, I haven't been to church yet. I'm already excited. Why? Why are there missionaries all over the world? Why are there shortwave radios sending out the gospel message? Why has TBN been raised up and they're broadcasting around the known world today? People in obscure little villages, they might be in an African hut, but you'll see the glow of that blue aura of that television set picking up that satellite of praise the Lord coming right into their living room in that hut. God says, I'm going to cover this earth with the word of God. You say, why? Why, Pastor? Why is it? And why did God permit us to live at such a time as this? And this is the reason. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with a few. But everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of them they will ask more. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that God has said to us in this generation, too much that's been given, too much will be required to those who have been given the word of the living God. God will require it of us. He said, well, I never knew Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I never understood the book of Acts. I never realized what Hezekiah did as he brought the need before the Lord. I never got that sermon down, Pastor. No. Listen, it's going out. It's being broadcast. It's being preached. There are people right here this morning that aren't getting this word because they decided not to be here. Some are on vacation. Some have valid reasons. Please let me put that in there. Lest somebody say, Pastor's talking about you. But anyway, I'm just saying, but there are those who have no excuse. Come on, look at somebody and say, there's people with no excuse. Now, they're not hearing this word. And they're going to say, well, I didn't know anything about the book of Joel, and I didn't know that God wanted to require of us and all that. Doesn't matter. It's already out there. It's like driving 50 in a 35, and the policeman pull you over, and he say, hey, you're going past the speed limit. He say, well, I didn't know, officer, that it was 35. And he goes, oh, you didn't know? No problem. Have a nice day. Mm-hmm. How many know that ignorance of the law is what? Ignorance of the law is what? Ignorance of the law is? Ignorance of the word is? Ignorance of the word is what? No excuse? So to... yeah, it did, Tom. To much is given, much is required. I love Isaiah 35 and 10. We used to sing that song. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Woo, yeah. Think I'll preach myself happy. And sorrow shall flee away. Isaiah 35, 10 is a powerful word. What does it say? It's saying the ransom shall return. And I make this declaration today. The ransom in northeastern Ohio shall return. I'm calling forth those that were dead to come back to life. I'm calling those that were drifting to come back to the house. I'm calling those that were deceived by the things of this world to come back to the house. Shout with me, the ransom shall return again. Hallelujah. That's what Isaiah said, and I believe they're coming. That's why you're here, because God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. You see, we're to live in victory and not in defeat. Say it with me one more time. The ransom are returning. Say, I'm the ransomed. Say, I'm returning to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what God wanted from the nation of Israel. He said, I want you to return to the house. I want you to come back. I want you to get back where you were. I don't want this thing to drift one more minute. I want you back because I got a plan for the nations of the earth. And how many know we're seeing it unfold even as we sit here today and we're hearing this message? Katusha rockets are being fired from jet skis from Lebanon and into Israel. And Israel is flying sorties and bombing with precision bombs in Lebanon and totally wasting cities. And in Beirut, they're rioting this morning against the UN building and smashing windows. And there's hate and there's a declaration of an unholy war from one group against another group. And you say, well, Pastor, what does all this mean? I'll tell you what it means. I'll tell you what it means. It's the birth pangs of the last day of the end time when Christ himself shall return from the eastern sky. But are you ready? Has the ransom returned? We're coming back. Just like they're coming from all over the world back to Israel. Plane loads of Ethiopians coming into Israel. Plane loads of Russians, Jews coming back to Israel. People all over America saying, I don't know why we're doing it, but we're moving back to Israel. I saw it on CNN the other day. A family in America, a Jewish family who lived in New Jersey, just moved back to northern Galilee where all the Golan Heights and all the bombs are exploding. And they interviewed him and said, why? Why would you move your family into harm's way? They said, I don't know. We don't really feel it's going to be in harm's way. We just feel like we're fulfilling destiny. We've got to come back. See, that's what's happening in the natural. But let me tell you what's happening in the spiritual. God is talking to backslidden moms and dads and families who've been away from God. And suddenly now they're saying, I don't know, but we just got to get back to the house of God. We just got to get back to the glory. Get back to the presence. Get back to the power. Get back to holiness. Get back to right living. Get back to the house of God. Woo. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't want to, he doesn't want you to win and be victorious. He wants you to be defeated. But I'm not going to be defeated. Declare with me, I shall not be defeated. And I shall not quit. The Lord shall increase me more and more. Me and my children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to take your stand this morning. Take your stand. Here's some steps to defeat. You want to be defeated? Let me show you how. How many this morning will say, you know what? I like to be defeated. All right, number one, here's what you need to do. In order to walk in a defeated life, have no strong spiritual foundation in your life. Have no strong spiritual foundation. You say, what's a spiritual foundation, Pastor? It's prayer. It's worship. It's word. It's Christian fellowship. And those things are absent from your life, and it is the first step to defeat. You say, well, what's the next step? Having or lacking a vital, active faith. What's a vital, active faith? A vital, active faith is when you are engaged in the works of Christ. When you and I are engaged in the works of faith, that we look to operate in our faith every day of our life. Because when we lack our vital active faith, we are on our way to a total defeat. Number three, believe. A believer who has no hope of warding off the attacks of the enemy. You are vulnerable. You don't know how to declare your victory. You don't use your confession. You don't speak the word of the Lord. And now you are in the third step of defeat. The enemy is just wreaking havoc over your life. You're not taking a place of a stand. You know, sometimes we got to get to the place where we say, enough is enough. How many in here are in that place today? I'm in that place, man. I'm saying enough is enough. And when it's enough, it's enough. Amen? And you've got to take that stand. Number four, God can't protect those who are not wise enough to seek his protective care or to live in it. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, why does God let that happen? How come this is happening in my life? Why are we constantly having these problems in our life? Maybe we're not wise enough to seek God's protective power. Maybe we have not spent the time to get into the hollow of his hand and to be under the shadow of his wing. Maybe we're drifting on the fringes and out on the outer banks. But how many know that the ransom are returning? Hallelujah. I don't know about you. As for me and my house, hey, the ransom are returning. I'm going to find some way to get a vital act of faith going in my life. I'm going to find some way to get a strong spiritual foundation going in my life. I've got to find somebody to help me. I've got to find somebody to encourage me. I'm not going to be a person that's living on the fringe. I want to be right in the center of all that God is doing. Come on, send me an email. Call me on the phone. Tell me what's happening. Let me know, Pastor, because I want to be right in the thick of all that God is doing. Do you want to be in the thick of all that God's doing? Come on, lift your hands up and tell Him. Say, Lord, I'm the ransomed, and I am returning. I'm coming home. I'm coming back. I refuse to be a drifter. I refuse to be one that's just here and there. I'm going to get my feet planted in the house of the Lord. Come on, give God a clap offering. Give God a shout. Give God a praise. Give God some glory. Woo! Hallelujah. You see, Israel had forgotten something. They had forgotten in verses 9 through 11 in Joel chapter 1. They had forgotten about Jesus. Isn't that something church folk forget about Jesus? You say, well, how can church folk forget about Jesus? Because the church becomes our Jesus. All that we do in the church, serve on this committee, sing in that choir, work over here in this ministry, that's my ministry, all of a sudden it becomes your Jesus. And Jesus can't get in the house because you have fastened a Jesus in your own heart. And suddenly now we have a culture that we create out of the Bible that's not even in the Bible. It's amazing, all of our different personalities. And they're cool. I love it. I mean, you get some preachers, man, they're preaching. They're just talking. They're just, well, I just want you to know this morning that God is a good God. And if you'll serve God, He'll meet all your need. I'm thinking, okay, let's switch that station. All right. But it's still anointed. It's the Word. Then you get on another station. And you get somebody else, you know, from down south. And they're just, you know, they're just doing their country thing, you know. They're walking around shaking everybody's hand. And they're putting their hand up to their ear. And they're preaching. And then you got the B3 screaming on another station. You say, how do we make all that out of the Bible? I looked in the Bible. Can I see your Bible? I can't find the B3 in there. I can't find the, and I want you to know, ha, God is here, ha, and He's about to do something that you'll never do for yourself. Ha, ha. I can't find that either. I'm trying to find that. Maybe it's in your Bible. Maybe I got the wrong Bible. And we've created this Jesus in the church, and Jesus is saying, what about me? Hey. Hello? Shout with me, the ransom are returning. Shout with me, I'm the ransom. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have got to get back to the Bible. You say, well, Pastor, that is so silly. I understand that. I know that. I live in the Bible. But do we really? See, Israel had forgotten Jesus. Why? Because they no longer offered the meal offering. You say, well, what's the meal offering? The meal offering is found in Leviticus chapter 2. And verse 1, when anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. You see, that meal offering was powerful. It was a representation. Did you know the gospel is preached in Leviticus? Did you know the gospel is preached in Deuteronomy? Come on, somebody. Do you know the gospel is preached in Genesis? Hey, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, the proto-evangelium. That is the first mention of Christ. He said he shall bruise his heel, but he shall bruise your head, devil. It was the promise of a coming Messiah, the Savior. And Israel wasn't getting it. As a matter of fact, they no longer in the time of Joel was offering a meal offering to the Lord. You see, it spoke of a bloodless sacrifice, the meal offering. And that was speaking of the works of Jesus Christ. The works of Jesus Christ. It also spoke of fine powder, and that spoke of the crushing
of Jesus Christ. When can I go to the church house and hear about His crushing, His sacrifice, His breaking, instead of what it's all about me and how you're going to meet my need and what can you do for me as a church and what about us and when are you going to do that for us and me and I and what about His crushing? The fine powder. And then he talks about after the fine powder, he speaks of the oil. And the oil is that of the resurrection of Jesus, because the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body. It is the basic of our salvation experience to preach the meal offering, and it was absent in the church. I am a prosperity preacher. Write it down. I'm guilty. People say all that Pastor Canton cares about is money. That's not true. It's not all I care about. And it's not the first thing I care about. It's the meal offering. I want to preach. I want to preach about the works of Jesus, who Acts 10 says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, whom God hath anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I want to talk about my Jesus. I want to talk about that Gethsemane experience as His capillaries were broken under the pain and the stress of the weight of the sin of the world upon Him, and He bled out of His forehead. I want to talk about His crushing as He was nailed to a cruel cross and hung there suspended between heaven and earth and cried, Father, forgive them. I want to talk about it. I want to preach it. That's my passion. That's my heart. Let me go on record to say, I want to talk about the oil that's poured out over that meal offering that speaks of the resurrection of Christ. And if Christ be raised, then you and I can be raised. And if something has died in your life, come on, hold on. God said in 3 days it shall rise again. I don't live in a tomb. You may have been in a tomb all your life like the men in the Gadarenes, but Jesus has walked on the shore of your life. I want to preach the fact that what was dead can be made alive. Lazarus! And then the fragrance of Jesus speaks of the beauty of His prayer and intercession. You see, they had forgotten the meal offering and they forgot the drink offering. It speaks of the blood of Christ. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. I want to sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands. It washes white as snow, and there's power in the blood of Jesus. I'm going to preach about it. There's power in the blood of Jesus. I said there's power in the blood of Jesus. For it washes white as snow. I want to sing it one more time now. I want to say there's healing. I said there's healing in the blood of Jesus. Come on, be healed this morning. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. Oh, there's healing in the blood of Jesus, for it washes white as snow. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, right here, right now, those that are sick in their body, I proclaim healing. Those that are oppressed of the devil, I proclaim deliverance. Those today, oh God, that have come in with depression, and with heavy hearts and heartache, I declare joy and peace in their life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You see, we've got to preach Jesus. And we've got to talk about the blood, Hector. We can't miss that message. We can't get so modern that we get nervous to talk about Jesus and the blood. We can't get so highfalutin and so technology minded that we forget. We can't forget the blood, and we can't forget the broken body of Jesus. That we would lift up our name before the Lord and say, God, you're able. Just lift a hand up and tell him, say, Lord, you're able. Say, Lord, you're able. Do it now, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Right now. Right here. Oh, in my life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know today that the trees of the field were destroyed during the time of Joel. And your life might have been destroyed. You may be here today saying, I'm kind of withered and I'm kind of worn. But I'm here to tell you there's some people that are willing to bark your tree. You may have been barked and you're wide open to the trials and troubles of life. But I'm telling you there's some salt in this house. And there's some light in this house. And we're not going to let you weather the storm by yourself. There's something about a tree. Hurricane Katrina. Charlie or any of them, or storm, tropical or otherwise, can blow in. Things can become projectiles, even penetrating the bark of a tree, right through the bark. 2x4s slung by 100 plus mile an hour winds literally penetrate the side of a tree right through the bark. But that tree is undaunted because the bark took the brunt of the blow. And let me tell you something. There's people in this room this morning that'll be your bark, and we'll weather your storm, and we'll help you stand under the velocity and of the winds of adversity and of the pains of your present or even the memories of your past, because God is a God that's got restoration on his mind. Oh, I want to declare to Israel, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Ha! Look up. Look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Child of God, don't grow weary. God is about to move on your behalf. He simply said this, the pomegranate tree. The pomegranate tree had been wasted. Worship and intercession had left the house of God. God, give us people who will cry out before a service. God, I don't know who's coming to church this morning, but if they're coming heavy of heart, I like a priest according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9, a royal priesthood, stand in my place and swing my pomegranate vestment before you in worship and intercession. Where's the pomegranate? O ye priests, where's the worship? Where's the intercession in the house? Somebody needs your prayer today. Somebody needs your encouragement. Somebody needs you to stand in the gap. Then he said, the palm tree has died in the field. You see, the palm tree out of John chapter 12 speaks of praise unto God. I ever live to give praise to God. For they gathered in the streets of Jerusalem that day as Jesus came in. And there they laid palm trees before him and shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The palm tree had died out. Praise had died. died out. Song chapter 2 and verse 5, Song of Solomon, I just call it Song, talks about being refreshed with apples. God says the apple tree had died out in the house of God. Restoration and repentance. Today we're sorry we get caught, and we're not really repentant of what we've done. Today God's declaring to all of us to be refreshed. The apple in ancient time was split in two to bring consciousness to those who had fainted, instant energy to those who had grown weak. If you've grown weak today in the house of God, I offer to you the apple of restoration through repentance at the cross. I make a clarion call today to every believer in this house to put on your priestly vestment. A pomegranate and a bell spoke of the worship of the high priest as he would come into the Holy of Holies. He would begin to declare those bells and pomegranates as his role of intercession and worship to a living God. And all of Israel, when they heard those bells ringing and the singing of the high priest, knew that God had accepted their sacrifice. I want you to know today, church, God's accepted the sacrifice of Jesus. You can be a worshiper. You can be a praiser. You can be like a palm tree standing tall under the winds of adversity and said, I may bend, but I'll never, 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 never break, because I'm coming back to the house of God. I'm ready to be 100% sold out, Holy Ghost, tongue talking, devil stomping Christian. I'm ready to be 100% undiluted believer in this hour. For I know that America needs salt. This world needs a church that we might preserve this generation. My question is simply this as I close. Verse 13 and 14 of Joel 1 says, O priests, weep between the porch and the altar. Proclaim a fast. Consecrate a solemn assembly. You see, that's not once a year occasion. That's a lifestyle. A living, a moving, and a being before God, that I know my purpose on the earth. Even though I might be an auto mechanic, or I might be a businessman or woman, I might be a housewife, but I know my real purpose. You see, my real purpose is to don my vestment as a priest, to lift up my hands as a praiser. Would you do it with me right now? Come on. Let the trees of the field clap their hands and let them sing unto the Lord. Go ahead and sing. Come on. Everybody in this house, stand to your feet. Come on, lift up your praise unto God. Come on, sing now. Hallelujah! Woo! Right now, all over this auditorium, God is here. You got a burden? Come on, you got a burden? Get out from your seat and come to this altar right now. You got a burden? You got a need? You need to talk to God? Come on from where you're standing. Find Jesus at this altar right now. Let him come and meet you at your greatest point of need. Come on, come on, come on. Don't carry that thing. Come and lay down. Come on.
With me right now in this house and repeat after me. Come on, repeat after me. I am a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God. I am the headed and I live far above. I am prosperous. I have good success. I am a doer of the word, and the Lord shall increase me more and more. Me and my children. I am the ransomed of the Lord, and I am returning. I'm coming back, Jesus, never to drift again, never to leave again. Speak to me, Holy Spirit. Come on, lift your hands and say, speak, Lord, speak, Lord. Drink offering. I want to partake of it, don't you? And we prepared for this middle section communion trays for you to come and take the meal and the drink offering. And that's what you're doing now. And on this side, you can go to that table over there. We need to spread those out, though. We can't stack them. They have to be spread out. And over here, can go to this table over there, so there won't be as congestion. But if you want to do communion, then I want you to go ahead and receive it with your family. As you get it, you might want to kneel, you might want to stand, you might want to come back to your seat. But let's not let the meal offering and the drink offering lose its significance in the house of God today. On your way out, give to missions for around the world. Thank you for giving to Uganda to help me go preach there in August. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you on Thursday night. We love you. Come on, let's worship. Let's worship Jesus.